Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
I say to all of us, stand strong for Jesus. Are you going to do that? Jesus stood strong for you. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And when you're doing God's will, when you're in the center of God's will, you can stand strong for Jesus. And when you're following Jesus, He will direct your steps.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Taking a stand for Jesus Christ isn't always easy. And no matter who we are, we can fail badly. Today on The Verdict, we're looking at Peter's denial of Christ and learning to stay vigilant and be strong and courageous for Jesus in the face of opposition. So now, here's Pastor John Monroe to introduce today's lesson titled, Stand Strong for Jesus.
Have you ever failed in the Christian life? I'm not asking if you've ever sinned. I know you've sinned. The question relates to a failure which is deep, a failure for which you are very much ashamed. As we look at the Gospels, it's remarkable that among all of the disciples, the one who seems the strongest, the leader and the spokesman for the 12 apostles, is the very one who fails so badly. I realize Judas betrayed the Lord, and that was worse, but Judas was not an authentic follower of Christ. He was not a true believer. But this man, Peter, a strong man, a fisherman, denies the Lord. Make no mistake, you too can fall into sin. So let's learn as we return to Matthew 26.
Well, today we're going to consider the failure of this man called Peter. And we're going to learn from his failure how we are to stand strong for Jesus. It's very interesting in our society how people stand strong for things that are very wrong. People stand strong for all kinds of things, but isn't it the case that we as Christians, instead of standing strong, are rather weak? We're weak spiritually. We're not talking about people being ignorant or harsh or being disrespectful to those who embrace a different belief from ourselves, but how we need in a very, very strange world, isn't it? Seems our world is falling apart. Seems we don't know what we're doing. This is true here. In a few hours, Lord willing, I'll be in Scotland, and that has been described, sadly, as the most secular country in Europe. Our world is changing dramatically. And yet the Word of God doesn't change. Our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't change. Let's read it about Peter's failure. Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to read from verse 69. We're continuing in our study of Matthew, but we're reading the last verses of Matthew 26, verse 69. Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. Last week we saw our Lord Jesus Christ on his trial before the Sanhedrin. Peter is outside, and a servant girl, think of that, a servant girl, came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean?" But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." When he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Standing strong for Jesus. Peter failed, as we just read. I have a number of principles, I think, five of them, very quickly, which will help all of us to stand strong for Jesus. Are you going to stand strong for Jesus wherever you are? First of all, understand you. I'm speaking to graduates, I'm speaking to parents, I'm speaking to all of us. Understand, you can fall into serious sin. Peter was the man who confessed Jesus as the Christ, and he failed, as we read, and he failed very, very badly. Peter was the leader of the apostles. And you remember that time we thought of it in Matthew chapter 16, where the question is asked, who is Jesus? And it is Peter, yes, with divine revelation, makes that magnificent, powerful statement, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What an amazing declaration. How that must have warmed the heart of Jesus to hear his followers say, we know who you are. You're the Messiah. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. No, this is a divine revelation. And it came to Peter as the spokesman of the apostles. And so you can imagine Peter among the 12. You can imagine Peter felt a little spiritually superior to the other disciples. Do you think so? We know that he did. Verse 33 of chapter 26, when the Lord says about the sheep scattering, Peter says, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Peter and John and James, they may fall away, others will fall away, but not me. I'm Peter, I'm the rock, I'm the one who received this divine revelation. I'm better than others. Pride, spiritual superiority, self-reliance are deadly, aren't they? That's his confession. I will never fall away. But now, short time later, while our Lord is being questioned by the high priest, Peter is being questioned by a servant girl. Not one of the Sanhedrin, not one of the top officials, as it were, just a servant girl, a waitress, as it were. Under questioning by the Sanhedrin, Jesus stands firm. Peter falters. As we read, he denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. A deliberate and a repeated denial. Did you see it in verse 70? He says, I do not know what you mean. I don't know what you're talking about. I was never with Jesus the Galilean. And then verse 72, I do not know the man. Verse 74, I do not know the man. I do not, you're referring to Jesus as the man? You're the one who knows he's the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. And you're saying, well, I don't know the man. He's fallen, and fallen very, very badly, hasn't he? He's not the only one in Scripture who falls into sin, is he? If you know your Bible. Abraham lied, Noah got drunk, Jacob was a deliberate schemer, Moses killed a man, David was an adulterer, Jonah the prophet disobeyed the Lord and ran away from the Lord, yes, and you too. However, smug you sit here in your spiritual superiority, you too, whoever you are, however much you know the Bible, however much you're involved in ministry, you too can fall into serious sin. Our culture says you are a good person. We're good, aren't we? Of course we are. We're good people. The Bible says you have a deceitful heart and you're desperately wicked. Remember that. Remember that in certain circumstances, every one of us may make foolish, impulsive, and sinful choices. Don't think that you can never fall into serious sin. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, he says, let him who thinks he stands take care lest he fall. Good message to you, Peter. You think you're different. You think you'll never fall. Take care. No, we have a formidable and a very devious enemy who wants to defeat and to devour us. Robert Murray McShane, one of my heroes of the faith, says, the seeds of every sin lie in my heart. Do you hear that? The seeds of every sin lie in your heart. Don't say, you will not do this. What's going on in your life? Are you getting close to the edge of the sin? Understand that you can fall into serious sin. Stand strong for Jesus. Number two, guard your strengths as well as your weaknesses. The reality is, you may fall spiritually in the area of your strength. An unguarded strength may be your greatest weakness. Abraham, an outstanding man of faith, doubts God and lies. Moses, the meekest man in all of the world, we're told, kills a man and strikes the rock in anger. Elijah, what a bold, courageous man. Before Ahab and before the prophets of Baal, he stands strong, bold, courageous. And then this bold man runs before an evil woman, Jezebel. David, the greatest of the kings, David, the man after God's own heart, loses his heart to a beautiful married woman. Peter, the courageous, bold leader, the one who steps out of the boat and walks on water. He's strong. He's a real man's man. He's a rock, solid. Yet, as we read, he acts in a very cowardly way, doesn't he? A real wimp, wasn't he? Come on, Peter. Your Lord is on trial. And you, three times, deny the Lord. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders, and he says to them, be on guard for yourselves. Yes, be on guard for the flock, but be on guard, first of all, for yourself. Guard your strengths as well as your weaknesses. Guard your attitude. Guard your thoughts. What are you thinking about? When you're not actively thinking of anything, what comes to mind? What are you thinking? Where are you in your mind? Guard that. Guard your integrity. Guard that. Satan often attacks us on the blind side, doesn't he? Oswald Chambers says, an unguarded strength is a double weakness. I wonder if I ask some of you at random to come up and say, now, what's your greatest strength? Someone would say, oh, I've got a very strong marriage. Someone might say, I'm a woman of integrity. Someone might say, I'm very honest. One of you might say, well, I'm a very generous person. All of us have strengths, don't we? God gives us them. God gives us gifts. How wonderful to be used for the glory of God. But Satan often, as he does with Peter, attacks us on the area, not of our weakness, but the area of our strength. I remember I was friendly with a man who's a CPA. In terms of finances, absolutely incredible. One of these mathematical minds, financial advice, all of that, absolutely brilliant. In the financial field, that was one of his strengths. He knew about money, he knew about investments. God had gifted him in that kind of mind to look at things, and yet he failed. He was taken in by a scam, a business scam. What happened? Oh, he got a bit greedy. And instead of doing due diligence in the finances as he would have advised for others, no, he felt, I'm strong. I can quickly look at a balance sheet. And through his greed, he became very greedy. That's true, isn't it, of life? Guard your strengths as well as your weaknesses. Here's number three. Number one, understand you can fall into serious sin. Number two, guard your strengths as well as your weakness. Number three, very importantly, pursue truth and prayer. Peter heard the truth. He was warned by Jesus in verses 31 through 35. Jesus says to him, this very night before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. He hears the truth from Jesus. He knows Jesus is a man of truth. He disregarded it. He must have dismissed it in a very cavalier way. Oh, Lord, others will fail you, not me. See, disregard for truth and disregard for prayer leads to failure. Peter ignored the true warning of Jesus, and now he's listening to others. Can I say the obvious? But I need to say it. Never, ever, ever neglect your study of this book. Some of you like to study, some of you don't. But whatever you're studying, make sure this is the priority. That you have a Bible. It's amazing nowadays that people don't have Bibles. If you don't get to have a Bible, get a Bible. And read it. And read it. This is to be our daily practice. Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? How is it possible for a young man and a young woman to live a clean life for God? Answer, Psalm 119, verse 9, by taking heed thereto according to your word. You can do it. God's given you it. This cleanses you. Even when you're not understanding it all, it has a cleansing effect in you. Two verses down, Psalm 119, verse 11, your word have I treasured, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Do you ever think of the word of God as a treasure? Do you ever think of the word of God as precious? This is a precious thing. If you've got something's precious as a gift, a piece of jewelry, whatever it is, something that you treasure, you protect that, don't you? Here is the word of God, treasured in our heart. Nothing is a surer defense against the attacks of the devil than the word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. It's not our sword, it's the sword of the Spirit. And when our Lord Jesus is tempted, what does he do? It is written. Enemy, Satan, it is written. It is written. Our Lord Jesus knew his Bible. He had memorized it. He loved it. And when the enemy attacks, he brings out the sword of the Spirit. Do that. Do that. You will defeat the enemy every time. Spiritual failure rarely happens all at once. Usually there is a downward drift. You're driving your car, a warning light goes on, or a sign goes on nowadays. Used to be the little red light. You need more oil. There's something wrong with your engine. And if you ignore the warning, you may seize the engine. A greater problem can develop in the car. You've ignored the warning. You've been foolish and you've kept on driving. Spiritually speaking, the warning light comes on. We have a conscience. You feel I'm not comfortable with that. I shouldn't be doing it. Don't ignore that. That's the conscience. Don't ignore those who come and warn you. You say, well, they're killjoys. They're not really taking life by the tail. When a godly parent, a pastor, a friend, someone that you respect, someone who's walking with God, when they speak with you and give you a warning, please listen. Students, don't disregard everything your parents say. I know all of you think they're old-fashioned and how bad it is that your parents don't understand you as well as they should. Some of you think that. Others of you think your parents are absolutely wonderful. Most of you are a bit in between. Listen to them. Just because you're off to some university pursuing life, it's very, very exciting. I know that. But don't cut the tie with your parents. Listen to them. Listen to friends. Listen to warnings. See, if not, I would ask you, who are you listening to? We have today what's called social influencers. You heard them? I think I'd love to be one. They don't seem to do much, put pictures of themselves, and they make a lot of money. So if someone can tell me how to do this, please tell me. I'm not very good at dance, that's true. But they're social influencers. They're influencing people. What they wear, they're the cool people. They tell you what to wear, they tell you where to go. They tell you what movie to watch. They're the cool crowd. Is that really who's influencing you? some ungodly woman, some ungodly man. And this is influencing you who are following Jesus Christ. You want to listen to a skeptical professor who's going to destroy your faith? Someone who's 50 with his PhD, who's been teaching students and who thinks it's very, very funny to attack those who believe the Bible? Is that who you're going to listen to? Isn't this person the one you're going to base your life? Proverbs 23, verse 23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Pursue the truth. What is the truth? Buy the truth. We know that this is the truth. It's the Word of God. And don't ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And it's a challenge for you. We've been reminded, pray without ceasing. Talk to Him. Never, ever stop talking to our great God. Never neglect prayer. Look back at chapter 26, verse 40. The Lord's in the garden. Peter is there. We would think, what a privilege to listen to the Lord in prayer. You've been asked to be with Him. He came to the disciples, verse 40, found them sleeping. And He said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch therefore and pray that you may not enter into temptation. That's part of the Lord's prayer. Deliver us from temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Do you ever pray that? Lord, temptation's going to come. Help me. You know my heart. You know I'm prone to do such and such. Give me strength. Give me wisdom. Peter then is spiritually weak. Instead of praying with Jesus and being spiritually strengthened, those that wait on the Lord shall be renewed in strength. Don't you need spiritual strength? Don't you need renewal? Don't you need wisdom? Don't you need God's help? You really think you can live your life by yourself? Do you really think that you by yourself can defeat the enemy? Absolutely not. The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and prayer. Pursue truth, the Word of God. Pursue prayer every day. Get on your knees and pray and ask God for help.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, Stand Strong for Jesus. John's closing remarks are just ahead. But first, we'd like to tell you about a special free resource available exclusively from The Verdict. It's a helpful booklet by John called Life in the Kingdom, and it's designed to help you understand the teaching of Jesus on what it really means to follow Him and how to apply His practical teaching to your day-to-day life. And right now, we're offering this valuable resource to our listeners absolutely free. So request your copy of Life in the Kingdom and gain an eternal perspective for your everyday life by going to our website at theverdict.org. And if you haven't signed up for John's monthly email newsletter, you can do that while you're there. Again, that's at theverdict.org. And if you and your family are looking for more ways to help spread the gospel this year, consider playing a part in this radio ministry by making a one-time donation. With your financial gift of any amount, you'll be helping to spread the truth of God's Word into new communities across the globe. We've made it quick and easy to give through our website at theverdict.org. And if you want to make sure that you don't miss out on any of these daily messages, be sure to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast. That way, you'll also receive John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum, where he addresses relevant topics from a biblical perspective. Just open your podcast app and subscribe to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Have you known any fellow believer who has fallen badly or fallen into scandal? Perhaps he or she created shockwaves in your church or in the Christian community. But today, don't think of them. Think of yourself. Have you fallen? Are you hiding some secret sin? I'm asking you to be strong for Jesus. Make sure you tune in next time as we continue looking at this whole subject of spiritual failure and also look for the spiritual remedy. And yes, praise God, our God restores souls.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.